Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet Minnesota's new commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, get a Red Bull update from Kuwait, and visit with our county veteran service officer. And joining me in the studio today is Commissioner Larry Herkey, who is Minnesota's new commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to the show. Last time we saw you, I think you were a colonel.
Yes, things have changed a little bit, Tom, since the last time. I appreciate the opportunity to come back again here today.
Well, we're looking forward to working with you over the years to talk about programs and services and veterans homes and all the things that you do at the as the commissioner and at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, I'd like to share with the listeners a little bit. You spent quite a few years active duty Army and Army National Guard.
Correct, Tom. I was actually 31 years total of service. Of that, about 12 years active service between deployments and active duty time in Germany. And I had an opportunity to serve in many different capacities, to include a long deployment to Iraq. I don't know if you remember the extension of the 1st Brigade at one time when we were doing the surge, I think, during George Bush's administration. And so I had an opportunity there to be the executive officer of the brigade, which was a great honor during that time. But finished my career being the construction and facilities management officer. I think we talked then at about facilities and about a 30-year plan. And
30-year plan and in the shape of all of those Minnesota National Guard facilities over the next few decades. That was a big planning job, sir.
Big planning job, a lot of great staff work from my staff to put that together. It took about almost a year of between developing the actual condition assessments for the buildings and looking at demographics and where the next soldier will be born and deciding exactly where these facilities needed to be and putting that all together into a plan for the Adjutant General was a big task.
And then after you retired, I understand there was a new position that opened up at the state of Minnesota as the director of the Office of Enterprise Sustainability.
Yes, we refer to it as OES. It was a new position created within the Department of Administration, and the intent of the position was to try to reduce the effects of state operations on the environment and try to help agencies to be more efficient and to use the dollars that were given by the taxpayers in a more efficient manner. And the long-term effect was just to have a better impact on the environment and better impact on society.
So, Commissioner, all of those years in the military and all those jobs in the military and then the new job after that, all of that experience has to really come into play with all the things you have to do as commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
I feel very fortunate. I had an opportunity in being on active duty and the time I spent as a federal employee with the Department of Military Affairs here in the state of Minnesota. I think the leadership that I was able to pick up, the leadership skills, the project management is important, working with people. I had a fairly large staff in my last position. We worked with a lot of construction and renovation. In this position, I'm responsible for 5 homes and 1.2 million square feet of space that I'm responsible for and over 1,400 employees. So a lot of the skills that I picked up during the military and also the skills in the sustainment as director of sustainment will serve me well in this position.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, for our listeners, the former commissioner, General Larry Shelato, served under Governor Dayton for much of his years in office, and he announced, Commissioner Shelato announced that he wasn't going to apply for the job again. And of course, when we get a new governor, then a new governor wants to put his team in place. Whatever possessed you to apply for this? This is a big job, sir.
It's a big job. And I was actually retired for 2 days before I went and became part of the state government here as the director of sustainability. But moving into this position, I just thought there's no greater honor than serving the 327,000 veterans that we have in Minnesota. I mean, what job could be more important than serving the people that have been selfless service themselves to their nation and to their state. And I just got to put my name in because I just feel strongly that I can contribute here and that I can give something to both the veterans and to the state of Minnesota that would make us better overall.
So this was a way to continue your service to the country.
I think so. And today I'm wearing my boots here, not just because I like wearing boots, but just a reminder of that service that you had and the importance of the veterans that are here and their service to the country and what I can do to try to make their lives better and get them the care and the benefits that they've earned. I think that is the key to success here, and that's where my focus will be.
And Commissioner, you had an interesting experience because in one of your commands, you had a first sergeant by the name of Tim Walls.
I did. He was a brand new E-8 first sergeant. I think we actually worked a little bit when he was the operations sergeant at New Ulm. And we found that we both were going to be assigned to Charlie Battery of the 1st of the 125 Field Artillery down in St. James, Minnesota. We both came at about the same time. We held our first formation, very interesting formation. There were supposed to be, I think, 92 soldiers that were supposed to show up, and we ended up with a small group of 26. And we found that we had had a little bit of work to do, both in recruiting, retention, the condition of the vehicles, and so forth. And we developed a plan, the two of us together, as the leadership team for that battery. And I can tell you, when we left that battery, it was the best battery in that battalion, and it was a great honor for me to work with him then, and it's a great honor for me to work with him today. He's a great patriot and a person that epitomizes selfless service, is what I can tell the listeners here today.
And sir, I was in the Air Force, but in the Army, a commander and his first sergeant worked together real close and try to accomplish all kinds of goals. And it sounded like you and now Governor Walls worked pretty closely together during those times.
We were successful. And just an example of that, our last annual training period, we were the only battery that was firing rounds. They just kept bringing the rounds to us because we were the only ones that could get the mission done. And we're both safe, and we're doing what the battalion commander wanted us to do. And it was a great, to me, it was just a pat on the back to both of us on how well we put together the unit and how well it was functioning.
And now it's turned upside down, and you can call him the boss because he's the governor.
I actually gave him his first salute as governor. So we were in the welcoming room there, and it was just an honor for me to turn around and salute the new governor of Minnesota.
Well, Commissioner, it should be fun. You're in office at his pleasure, I guess, but over the next few years, you get to work with Governor Walls and do things like go up to Camp Ripley and speak to folks and take care of our veterans. And what can you give us a short synopsis as commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs? You've got a lot of responsibilities. How do you describe that quickly?
I've actually been around to all the five veterans homes. Each one of them have a different personality. It's a little bit interesting to walk in and see how they operate and so forth. I do not have a medical background, so I'm learning a lot of acronyms very quickly, a lot of medical terms and so forth. So that's been probably my biggest learning curve overall. The people and so forth have been great, though, that I've been working with.
Well, I think Commissioner Shalito left you a pretty good team. We've had a lot of them on the radio. You've got a legislative director, you've got a chief of staff, you've got communications people, and of course, we've tried to support the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as much as we can with this radio program and get those stories out about programs and services and the veterans' homes and all the great work that many people are doing under your staff now.
Yeah, there's over 20 programs that we're responsible for, and many of those programs still have money on the table at the end of the year. So the more we can get the information out about these programs here in the future, the better off we are, and the more people we can help as far as veterans.
So if our veterans out there are listening to this, if you've got any kind of an issue related to your service, all you have to do is call the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and there's people there to help.
There are many people there to help you, Tom.
Sir, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about programs and services, the veterans homes, veterans homelessness, and county veteran service officers. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019, coming into office with Governor Tim Walls. Two of them worked together when they were in the military. And Commissioner, happy to have you in the studio and look forward to talking to you quite often, I hope, in the future. One of the things that we want to talk about is there's two main priorities over, as I understand it, for the MDVA, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and one of your deputy commissioners works on programs and services. Now, there's a lot of those, isn't there, sir?
There's quite a variety of different services that are provided to veterans through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I think as the thing that surprised me is the breadth and the width of what we cover, as far as everything from an educational benefit to potentially a set of hearing aids, you know, needed by a veteran, and everything in between. And it's really, I think, a lot of veterans should actually look into this, or at least give us a call to tell us that they're interested in it. Especially, I would say the Minnesota GI Bill, which is a $10,000 one-time lifetime $10,000 for every veteran in Minnesota, and that can be used towards higher education or a certificate or even just learning a new skill. So it's pretty open to what it can be used for, and I would say that's probably one of the most underused benefits that veterans have earned and that have not used in the past.
Sir, your predecessor and all of your staff over there launched a new website, I think just in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's user-friendly. It's a lot nicer than the old one, which was a little hard to get around. I've tried to do that myself, but for our listeners out there, if you go check the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, all the information on programs and services are listed there, and it's, I think, and I'm not very good at this tech stuff, but I think it's marvelous and it's easy to use. And it's a great resource for our veterans.
Correct. And especially I would encourage veterans that have issues that are related to their military service in their services area. Of course, we have, helping through this county veteran service officers and so forth, being able to help bring your claims to bear and to be able to work with them as far as processing them and so forth. I think that's one of the things that, again, that most veterans have not feel that maybe they're not eligible for something. I always say ask first, and then we can always work it out later and help you with your claims as they go forward. So I think that's an important step, and using those county veteran service officers is one of the key first steps.
Now, sir, your department works closely with the county veteran service officers, and there's at least one in every county. They usually have an office somewhere near the courthouse. And so for anything veteran-related, if you have a medical condition that you think came about when you were in the military, if you need some resources, if you need anything, there's two things you can do. Number one is go see your county veteran service officer, and number two is you could call the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and between you or the county veteran service officers, you're there to help solve problems.
I think we can take care of any problem that you might have, or almost any problem you can have as a veteran. There are many resources, and a lot of them I'm just learning now, as this is day 45 for me in the job. But there are many different areas that you can be eligible for, and I would say that stop with your county veteran service officers is key to starting the process.
And we're going to hear from one of our county veteran service officers later in the show today, talking about the use of emergency facilities if you're eligible for VA care. Sir, the second part of the big part of what your department does is the veterans homes. There are currently 5 veterans homes. One's very unique down in Hastings, and then there's 3 new ones coming.
That's correct. Last year, the legislature actually, in their omnibus bill, actually put together a package where the state portion of 3 new veterans homes in Preston, in Bemidji, and Montevideo have been authorized, and now it's my job as the commissioner to ensure that we have the appropriate paperwork and the plans. We're actually at what they call a schematic design. That's where we're at in the process, and we've got a deadline coming up on April 15th. We have to have our packets into the federal VA, and we'll be submitting those 3 homes as quickly as we can get them done for consideration for matching funding.
Sir, that sounds like a great place to put all that experience with those dozens of facilities you manage for the Minnesota National Guard to bear, because opening 3 new homes is going to be a big project.
This is something I'm very familiar with. It's very familiar to me with the building of new armories and renovation of existing armories. So this is something that I'm really looking forward to.
And along with that, once those homes are ready to go, you're going to be looking for some good people to come in there, some nurses and some other employees. And so for our listeners out there, I'm sure you might have some openings, and you're always looking for volunteers right now.
Correct. We love to have volunteers in our current five homes that exist, and we're always in the future here. We'll be looking as these new homes come online. We'll need medical talent, skilled care to be able to help man these homes and be able to have the appropriate staffs on for each one of them. And this is going to take the whole community and probably the whole area, sort of a concerted effort to be able to bring those skills to bear and be able to open those homes successfully and operate them the way we've successfully operated the other five homes.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, another one of your partners is called the Commander's Task Force, which is the commanders, president, and commandant of nine federally certified veteran service organizations that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs works very closely with.
Yes, I think my predecessor actually called them his board of directors, is my understanding. And we do take cues and help and assist with the CTF, the Commander's Task Force, and we're along with them. We're helping as they need help and assistance to put together legislation or so forth, because we have the staff knowledge and help. But we're really taking direction from them, and what are the things that they're hearing from their veterans that are part of their membership, and how can we work on this together? I think that partnership part is the thing I would try to strive to. I think the importance is that we're working towards common goals and helping out our veterans in Minnesota.
And sir, they put together some legislative priorities for this year's legislature, and they're going to have an event called Veterans Day on the Hill on March 20th. And there's all kinds of information on that at the DAV website, which is davmn.org. And that's a big day, and they go up there and represent the membership of their combined organizations, such as the VFW, American Legion, DAV, Purple Hearts, and so forth. And that's a big day coming up in March.
Yes, I'll be there, actually be there. And it's a wonderful day for the veteran organization to come together initially with a small brunch, and then after that, a few words from some of the members, and then encouragement and going up to the Hill and trying to work with the legislators that are currently in session to influence them towards some of the different goals that they're trying to accomplish during this legislative session.
Sir, on this show, we quite often have on the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV, and of course their mission is to end veterans' homelessness. And I understand that's one of the priorities for Governor Walz and for yourself.
During my interview, that was one of the items we probably talked about with both the Lieutenant Governor and Chief of Staff the most. And they were very interested in the fact that we were going to be able to put together a plan here to finally end veterans' homelessness. Right now, there are three states that have declared that they've accomplished that. We'd like to be the fourth. And working very closely with the Commissioner of Housing and Finance, Commissioner Ho, as she prepares and helps us, both the MACV organization that General Lightalt's part of, and also our organization, working together again in a partnership, and I think coming up with what are the things that need to be worked on and what are the things we can influence here in the next year. And we would really like to do this as quickly as possible to try to get the 244 current homeless members that are on that need a place to call home.
And, sir, we've had Neil Leutold on the show recently, and he was talking about all of their efforts, and he's very positive that we're going to get this done. And he was also talking about, and we'll have him back on soon to talk about the standouts that they have around the state, working with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, legal help, all kinds of help to try to eliminate the problems that would cause a veteran to become homeless.
Correct. The stand downs are a great example of partnering with all the partners and bringing them together at one location. If you need legal help, if you need first month's rent, or if you need some other assistance, maybe it's something as it relates to your employment, all those things can be discussed and worked on at those stand downs. So that's a great experience and a great demonstration of all these organizations working together.
And using some preventative resources to eliminate the option to be homeless.
Correct. I think that's critical, is that we look at what are the things we can do, especially when we take this to zero. How are we going to keep from additional veterans becoming homeless in the future?
Sir, we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us in the studio. And any final thoughts for our listeners?
I'd like to just talk to the veterans for a moment. I'd say that this is a great honor for me to take this position. I am an enthusiastic person. I have tenacity probably as much as just about anybody that I know. I'm a hard worker and a person that can come up with a vision and be able to pull that vision through. And I'll be working every day to make the lives better for those 327,000 veterans that we have in Minnesota. And I just wanted you to know that I'm here, and I'm ready to start working hard for you here today.
We're looking forward to working with you, sir, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll get our Red Bull update from Coit. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get our Red Bull update from Kuwait, but first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Serving in the military can be a challenge. Our missions can be dangerous, and sometimes we're away from our families for longer than we'd like. Being in a military family can also be challenging, and juggling all of our family and military duties can sometimes get the best of us. I want you to know that when times get tough, there's a group of folks ready to lend a hand. They are the people of our Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Located in 10 communities across Minnesota, our Family Assistance Centers can help with ID cards, financial and legal concerns, TRICARE information, and can also offer referrals to community resources and networks. Participation is voluntary, confidential, and open to family members of all services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, both active and reserve component. To learn more or to locate a family assistance center near you, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org or call 612-618-6927. That's 612-618-6927.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. It's time for our Red Bull update. It means that all the way from Kuwait, we're going to be speaking with the Command Inspector General of 34th Infantry Division, Minnesota National Guard, Major John Anderson. Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio all the way from Kuwait.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me on today.
Sir, you're part of the division deployment over to Kuwait. You've been on the ground for a while now. How are the conditions? How's it going?
It's going really well. There's a lot more going on over here than you would expect from what you see on the news. We're involved with a lot of countries building partnerships and developing those relationships, which are key to supporting the operations here going on in the Middle East.
Sir, can you explain to us, as Command Inspector General of 34th Infantry Division, what does that all entail?
It's my responsibility to maintain the relationship between the commanding general and the soldiers as far as ensuring that they're well taken care of. I'm an eyes and ears for the CG. I understand you had him on a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago. And we, as the IG shop, will ensure that he knows the morale of his troops, if they're well taken care of, and if there's any types of issues going on within the ranks that he needs to be aware of. And then we'll take care of some of those issues for him to ensure that he's operating a efficient and a fighting force ready to fight tonight.
We did have him on the show about, I think, 6 weeks ago, and he sounded determined to take good care of his soldiers and get the mission accomplished. And so you're in a pretty important spot there, right, Major?
Yes, that is correct. Working directly for the man upstairs there is always a bit of a challenge, but I think my team and myself, we're ready to meet that.
Major, we want to talk a little bit today. You heard the message from the Adjutant General about the Family Assistance Centers and all of the programs that are available back here to take care of your families. And, of course, for all of your soldiers that are deployed on that mission to Kuwait, some of them from time to time have some issues. And you told me off the air that this snowstorm and some other things are affecting your family as well.
Yes, that is correct. And you know, the family assistance centers, I haven't used them myself, but I've directed my soldiers to use them previously, and they've been fantastic. I helped one of my soldiers provide some rent money for him when his house was in a position of fire hit his house a few years back. And it was a great opportunity for him to get some assistance that normally wouldn't be there for him.
Well, it's got to be encouraging to have the Yellow Ribbon communities back here and the family assistance centers back here to help your families with any issues that might come up.
It is. It's a totally different time than I understand you're a Vietnam veteran, and back then they didn't have anything like that. And I know your generation is the one that's taking care of my generation, so thank you very much for that.
Major was a little simpler back then, and it might have been a little easier because we were over in Vietnam and had little or no contact back here other than letters. And if there was an issue, our family got a hold of the Red Cross, and we'd find out about it 2 or 3 weeks later. Not sure technology today is all that good because you know everything is going on almost to the minute.
That is very correct, sir, and it's almost an overkill, to be honest with you, in regards to the communication is too good occasionally. Where you sort of run out of things to talk about with your spouse or significant other, or they're frustrated when you can't talk because you have some military obligation. So, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'll tell you that.
We're speaking with Major John Anderson, Command Inspector General of the 34th Infantry Division in Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, sir, you've got another complication in that you own a business back here in Minnesota.
That is correct, Tom. I own a portable storage company called MyBox of Minnesota. I am very passionate about not only my place in the military, but also as business. And I enjoy what I do on the civilian side as much as I do in the suit. That's why I have that challenge over here. I would not give up my obligation to the military just because I started a business. I feel very strongly about both, so I wanted to continue to serve even though I started a business just a couple of years back.
So you've got a whole new set of challenges when it comes to you're on deployment. You've got to take care of a very important job. You've got to make sure that your family is happy, and then you have to manage a business from half a world away.
That is correct, and that's where that technology we were just talking about comes in, because without that, I would not be able to do the management aspects of operating a business from 6,700 miles away. Here, I work all day at my Army job, and then I'll step back into my room, fire up my personal computer, and I'll get working on business operations. And it works out with the time frame because I have, 12 hours of work here, and then I can stay up till midnight here, and it's the daytime back home. So I'm able to help manage customers and sales and financial and networking opportunities. I can do all that from abroad, and it's quite amazing, actually.
Sir, you have to have some good employees that take direction from afar in order to keep that business moving.
That is true. My father-in-law is the operations guy. He stepped up to the plate huge and taken over the business. I have my wife who supports me in the financials and operating some of the day-to-day stuff. And then I have a staff person that does a lot of the office work. She does a fantastic job as well. I'm truly blessed that I've been able to find these people to help continue to operate it while I'm away.
Sir, did you find when you started that business that some of the skills you learned in the military were important for an entrepreneur?
Yes, there are some skills that translate very well into the civilian sector. And one that's not often thought about, and that is grit. People in the military have grit. It's not often possessed in the civilian world, and from my perspective, we're ingrained in our beings to want to persevere through any sort of situation, and business is very similar in that fashion. If you don't have that, you will not be successful in business on your own.
So discipline and focus help you to manage a business, particularly when you're that far away, along
yes,
with some really key people in your life that keep it going.
Yes, and we are inherently military people or risk takers. You need to be a risk taker to start a business, and the military shaped that risk taking into some discipline initiative, and you combine those two things with some grit, and you're on your way to success.
So if there's some of your soldiers came to you and said when they're coming back to Minnesota at the end of this deployment and they're thinking about starting a business, what would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I would ask them is, do you want to build your own dream or do you want to help somebody else build theirs? And if they answer that they want to build their own, then I would fully support them moving in that direction. The thing is, too, is don't be afraid of criticism. Most people you talk to, when you tell them you want to start a business, they're going to criticize it. Either you're not good enough, your product's not good enough, or you don't have the skill set. And I wholeheartedly believe that's something that you need to take and not take it personal. Build off of it and go forward and achieve your dreams.
Sir, as a fellow business owner, I would add that it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even from Kuwait. And if you're not willing to put in that kind of time and effort, that's all right, because we need good employees as well, and your soldiers can make very good employees too.
That is accurate. Everybody that I hired that works for me is either associated with the military or a EMT or firefighter.
And you can count on them to show up and give you a good day's work. Kind of easy when nobody's shooting at you, isn't it?
That's right, Tom. It's a lot easier in that regard, that's for sure.
Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your business. We're speaking with Major John Anderson, all the way from Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been involved in a Red Bull update from Kuwait. We've been speaking to Major John Anderson, who's the Command Inspector General of the 34th Infantry Division, Minnesota National Guard, deployed to Kuwait. And, sir, I just wanted to ask you again a little bit about your duties. And how are our Red Bull soldiers doing over there in the desert?
The Red Bull soldiers are doing fantastic, and I'll tell you why. This deployment is a lot different than previous ones where you're facing an enemy daily. This one's providing a lot of opportunity for soldiers to see the Middle East and experience some of the cultures here, and that really helps build those partnerships. And to be honest with you, there's a lot to see in the Middle East. It's a fantastic place as far as historical perspective, from Jordan, from the Dead Sea to the beaches of Oman and UAE and Qatar and all these fantastic places with a lot of history. And a lot of these soldiers are getting out and getting to experience that and the food. I think you're going to have a lot of shawarma lovers when you get home here. Business should increase in the Minneapolis area, that's for sure.
Sir, when you're deployed, the soldier gets into a rhythm, a daily rhythm, a weekly rhythm. They go to chow, they work out, they do their jobs. It's a rhythm that's disciplined and it's good for them. And a lot of the soldiers come back, they're in better shape than when they left.
Yep. I'd say that's pretty accurate. We have, myself, my wife always gives me a hard time, but I started CrossFitting and, I've enjoyed that a lot. And there's a lot of troops here that have definitely, the planes are going to come back lighter, to say the least, when we fly home. Many pounds have been dropped, and just the morale of the troops goes up when they get in good shape and participating in 5Ks and half marathons and full marathons, ruck marches, and all kinds of good stuff. So, and Sergeant Williams here, as you know her, she's keeping a lot of people in good shape too with her classes that she teaches.
If I was going into a fight, I'd want to have her by my side, not on the other side. I know that. Kickboxing or whatever you call it, she's tough. Sir, your soldiers get into a rhythm over there and know what's coming up each day and each week, and it's relatively easy compared to your family back home, your spouse and your children. Things come up, things happen. They have to kind of make the rules up on the fly. A little tougher, your family's sacrifice as well.
That is true, Tom. And I honestly, coming back, a message for folks is, yeah, we didn't face the enemy daily here like we did on previous deployments, but it's a very simple life. And one of the stresses that these soldiers are going to deal with when they get home is dealing with the complexities that is the American lifestyle. Friends, family, jobs, guard, everything. It's going to pull these soldiers in a million different directions. And if we have any issues with soldiers coming back from this deployment, that'll be a key part of it. So I'm warning my troops that take it easy when you get home. Don't try to do too much. The shooting guns at the bad guys here, but there's still some stresses that are going to happen in the transition back to life. So And the wives and spouses, the husbands need to understand that as well, and that's something that needs to be discussed to ensure the transition is healthy on the way home. And with the Yellow Ribbon and the reintegration events, it's going to be fantastic, and that helps a lot. So my message to the families would be to listen to those counselors that stand in front of you and talk, and take time to get to know each other again after getting home.
Even though you have almost constant communication wherever you need it over there, you are away from the family, and you are away from the things that are happening on a day-to-day basis all day. So it sounds like great advice, sir, to tell your soldiers just to ease back into that family life and give it a little time so that you're accepted once again.
That is true. It's definitely something that you want a deliberate effort into your reintegration. You don't want to just show up at home and think it's going to be all great.
Sir, you, as we talked in the first segment, you own a business back here, and that is MI Box of Minnesota, and your family and your employees are taking care of that, and you're doing a little overtime duty there to manage that from afar. I hope that business is prospering, and it might take you a little time to get back into that when you return as well.
Yes, it definitely will. I've already warned my employees I'm going to be back about 30 days into the office after I get home, because I too will need that time for the success of everybody.
Major, we've just got about a minute left. Have you got any message for your family and friends back home? This show is going to be heard this weekend on 55 stations all over Minnesota.
Well, I just want to tell my wife how proud I am of her. She's done a great job managing 3 kids, her own business, a house, a cabin. She fixed the garbage disposal the other day, which was fantastic on her own. Plowed the driveway this morning with the snow. And she's done a lot of great things. I'm going to have a lot of ground to make up when I get home. So thank you very much, honey. I love you very much.
Major, I think next year you're going to be shoveling every drop of snow that comes down next winter.
I'll pray for an open winter, Tom. That's my goal.
All right, sir. Well, Major, I hope the rest of the deployment goes smoothly, and take good care of your soldiers. And thanks for appearing with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and I will shake your hand when I get home.
Yes, sir. That was Major John Anderson, Command Inspector General from 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and also the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Robbie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Tom. It's great to be talking with you again.
Robbie, I've had a question on my mind for a long time. As you know, I get my medical care out at the Minneapolis VA. Always kind of wondering if I was up north fishing, or if I was, you know, out of town and I had some kind of a medical emergency, what should I do?
Well, you know, it's not always possible to go to the emergency room at the VA Medical Center, especially, you know, in rural Minnesota. You know, so if you're a veteran and you have a medical emergency, you should go to the nearest hospital that has an emergency room. If you are in an ambulance, you know, the paramedics will usually take you to the nearest emergency room.
So is there a definition for emergency that allows you to go do that?
Well, you know, a medical emergency, Tom, is an injury or illness that's so severe that without immediate treatment, you know, it could threaten your life or your health. So if, you know, you have an emergency and you believe it's going to threaten your life or your health, you should go to the nearest ER right away or call 911. You know, you don't even have to call the VA before calling an ambulance or going to the emergency room.
So go to the emergency room, get that immediate care. But then when do you call the VA Medical Center?
Well, you know, the veteran, the family, their friends, they should, or the hospital staff, they should call the VA as soon as possible within 72 hours to let them know what's been going on with you. And then you can give them the other information about the services being provided to you.
So if a veteran does this, goes to an emergency room, ends up being admitted to a hospital as a result of this emergency, who pays the bill?
Well, you know, it depends on the veteran's eligibility. The VA may pay all, some, or none of the charges. For example, for a service-connected condition, some of the conditions that must be met are care and services were provided in a medical emergency and the VA or other federal facilities were not feasibly available, or the VA was notified within 72 hours of the admission. And if it's a non-service-connected condition, some of the criteria that must be met are, you know, the veteran has to be enrolled in the VA healthcare system, and this next one's a big one. The veteran has received healthcare services within the previous 24 months, and the veteran has no other health insurance.
So at the end of the day, what we're talking about here is if you're able and you have an emergency, go to the VA hospital. If you're out of town and you're not able to go to the VA, if you've got an important emergency, a life-threatening emergency, go to the nearest ER and get it taken care of. Don't worry about the VA. But if you have to do that, notify the VA or have the hospital notify the VA as soon as possible.
That's correct.
All right, Robbie, that sounds like some important information, and you've provided this. For more information on emergency care for veterans, a veteran can contact their local VA medical center or their county veteran service officer, as usual. But in any case, if you feel you have a medical emergency, seek help at the nearest emergency room because your life could depend on it.
I agree fully with that because we get too many calls and we tell them to go to the ER.
All right, Robbie, once again, for all our veterans out there, if you have any issues, contact your local county veteran service officer because you and all of your fellow service officers spend a lot of time figuring out what resources are available and how you can help the veterans.
Yes, we do, and we're proud to do it. We love serving our Minnesota veterans.
All right, Robbie, thanks for joining me again today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Robbie Robinson, the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major John Anderson from Kuwait, Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet our regional VA director and another Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.